Thank you, sir. Well, thank the Lord today for this privilege and opportunity to be back with you another Saturday morning. I hope and pray that the Lord will speak to your heart and deal with your heart, and that if you're not saved, you get saved. That's the most important thing in this life, is having your sins forgiven, having a born-again experience. I mean, preparing to die, to meet God, and to know that you're going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I know He saved me. I know He sealed me with His Holy Spirit. I'm not worried about dying in sin and going to hell. I know that when He saved me, He did it complete. And I know He's going to take me home one day. And I do my best to please Him and to love Him. And I tell you, when He saved me, He put a desire in me to live for Him. I tell you, I want to run to Him, not run from Him. And I don't have a license today to sin because I'm eternally saved. But I do have an obligation and a duty to serve God and to love souls. And it's something that I want to do. It's something that it really pleases me. When it pleases Him, it pleases me. I do have His Holy Spirit within me. And I want to please the Lord. And if I don't, I know it. I'm grieving on the inside. So I want to please Him. I want to lift His name up. I want His name to be glorified. I want to praise Him. And that's what we all should do. We that are saved is to lift up the bloodstained banner. We're to lift up the name of Jesus. And not only just talk it or so forth, but to walk it. And to let the world see Jesus in us, that they may know that there is a difference. That there is a true and living God. Not just something that we talk about or just something that we try to make ourselves feel better about. But this is something that's real. He's alive. And I tell you, He lives forevermore. And He's the God of my life. He's the God of my soul. He brought salvation. He gave me eternal life. And if you're saved, He gave you eternal life. He said, "My sheep, I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish, and neither is any man able to pluck them out of my hand." He said, "I give them eternal life." He said, "All that the Father gave me, I've lost none, save one, the son of perdition." That's Satan himself. That was Judas Iscariot, that wasn't saved to begin with. He walked right along with the rest of them, but yet never was saved. He was the one that rejected Him, deceived, tried to be deceptive and so forth. He was the one that held the bag, and He was the one that wasn't saved. Jesus said at the supper there, the last supper, He said, "One of you shall betray me." And it was Judas Iscariot. They didn't know. They began to ask, "Lord, is it I? Is it I?" But yeah, He said, "The one that dippeth in and sups with me, that's the one." It was Judas Iscariot. And He's the one that never was saved. And so He lost none. It was just the one that never was saved. And today, it's God's will that none should perish, but all should come unto repentance. It's God's will that you get saved today. I tell you, you might have done some bad things. You may feel that maybe you've gone too far. But I know that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. And His ear is not too heavy, that He can't hear. And I tell you, we know that your sins and my sins will separate you. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 53. You need to read that. And go on and read the 54, 55, and so forth. And see and know that, you know, our sins has separated us from God. And that we could not hear. He could not hear us because of our sins. But yet, if you'll humble yourself and be honest about yourself, then the Lord will have mercy upon you, and He'll forgive you. And I tell you, I believe it's Isaiah 59, and it said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, none any pleaded for truth. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and he that that which is crushed breaketh out unto a viper." He talked about these types of things, the wicked, the ungodly, And he said the sins have separated between them and God. But there is a way. If you want to touch the heart of God, if you want to really get something from God, if you'll humble yourself, the Bible says a little child, and you come unto Him and you're honest with Him, He will hear your cry. He will forgive you. He will have mercy upon you. His arm will bring the salvation. He will bring salvation and victory unto you. The Bible said His hand and His arm has brought victory. It does every time. And He will bring the salvation of God unto you. I tell you, He will save you. He will redeem you from the path of destruction, from hell. And I tell you, that's all you have to do, is you got to realize that you're a sinner. You got to realize that you have no hope without God, without the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that died on the cross and shed His precious blood, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He died an awful death. The Bible said in Isaiah 53, He said, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" I tell you, who has it been revealed unto? I tell you, the Bible said, who's believed this report? He came unto his own received him not. He came into this world, born of a virgin, made under law. And I tell you, he was rejected of man. He was rejected of the Pharisees. And I tell you, they beat him right before he was crucified. And he was down in Herod's judgment hall. And they're in the prison there. And they beat him so badly that you couldn't recognize who he was. He was stricken. I mean, he was grievously stricken for you and me. He tasted an awful death. He was despised, the Bible said, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows. And we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He died an awful death for you and me. He suffered like no man suffered, that he would take and bear our sin. He bore your sin. He bore my sin in his own body on the tree. They beat him with stripes and laid his flesh open. I mean, they beat him so bad. The Bible said he was so wore out that his tongue clave to the roof of his jaw. He was there hanging on the cross and blood pouring out when a soldier took his sword and pierced his side. The scripture said not one of his bones shall be broken. And they didn't break his bones like they did the others. They came and they seen that he was dead already, but they took the spear and put it in his side, and that come out blood and water. And I tell you, he died an awful death, and he gave his life. No man took his life. He was God in the flesh. And I tell you, they couldn't have done anything to him, and they could not take him until his hour was come. They wanted to. They wanted to take him and beat him and to crucify him a lot sooner, but it wasn't God's will. They could only do that when he gave them that permission to do it, and he submitted himself. As a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. The Bible said here, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have trusted, the Bible said, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our iniquity was laid upon him, and the Bible said that he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, and he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't open his mouth like a sheep that's dumb going before the shears there. But he opened not his mouth. He could have called the angels. He could have called them to come get him. But he come to do the will of the Father. He said, "I've come to do thy will, O God." He said, "A body thou hast prepared me." He said, "You prepared me a body to suffer and to die for the world, to do the work of God." And he came and he fulfilled the will of the Father. He come and he died for us. He loved us so much he died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, only God's Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus, knowing his destiny, left the portals of heaven and came down in this sin-cursed world to die for you and to me, knowing that his bitter cup. He came and he died an awful death. There at the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Lord, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He come to do the will of the Father, and he did, and he died, and he paid the price. He took your sin. He took our punishment. What we had coming, he took it, and it was all laid upon him. The sin of the world was laid upon him, and he came to die, and he died, and he paid the price for sin. And he is the Savior of the world. He is the door. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man can come unto the Father but by him. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the door. He's the one. He's the way. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. The man that knew no sin became sin for you and I, that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. He didn't have no deceit. There was no guile. There was no sin in him. There was no blemish in him. He was perfect, but he became sin because he took yours and mine. He loved us enough to die for us. And the Bible said he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The Bible said he was put to grief. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He became an offering. He became that offering for our sin. It had to be an offering made. The Bible said in old times they brought forth those animals, and they would sacrifice them. Then it was pointing to Christ is what it was doing. The blood, that's what God accepted at the time. The priests would bring the animals that God had told them to bring for their sin, and they would bring it to the high priest, and they would offer it up. And Jesus became that offering for you and I, and he is the high priest. He is the one, and his soul became an offering for our sin. And the Bible said, he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And the Lord, it pleased him to bruise him because of what it would bring. His arm brought salvation unto him. He redeemed them that were under the law. The Bible said he came and got under the law. He got like me and you. The Bible said, born of the virgin, made under the law, that he may redeem them that were under the law. And he paid an awful price for your sin today. And my prayer to God is that you get saved, that you repent. Turn to God. Turn from your sins and turn to God and confess your sin to him. Pour out your heart. Ask God to have mercy upon you, a sinner. And he will have mercy upon you. He will save you. He's already paid the price. We see that today. He paid the price. He suffered like no man suffered for your sin. And he's waiting on you to come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And the Bible said that's something that God will not despise, the sacrifice of a broken heart. And say to such a being of a contrite spirit, if you come to God like that, you really mean business with God. You really want to be born again. You really want your life to change. I promise you, if you'll pour out your heart to him, he will hear your feeble cry and you will be saved. But my time's come and gone. God bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.